Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And I'm pumped because it's Coach Approach Day. This is Thursday. We got the man, Ant, from 49ers Cutback. How are we doing, Ant?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited about this time of the year. You know, you're starting to pick everything up. Every general manager besides one is all in one location. All the agents are there as well. So it's kind of fun that you get to see some of the conversation about who's going to get cut, who's going to get traded. And then all the while, there's all these guys running around in spandex looking like Greek gods. And you just wonder how someone that big moves that fast. And it's just an impressive sight. And this is just an exciting time. Draft, free agency, everything in one place at one time.
Yeah, it's good times. And right as soon as we hit record or go live, Tom Pelissero, the NFL and NFLPA have agreed to the 2025 salary cap of $279.2 million. That point two is huge, and that's what Ant and John Chapman are fighting over, that point two. I would be so happy with that. That's all that I can say. So I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs, everybody coming out. I love it. We've got questions galore. We've got so many topics as the Combine starts today, which this show, if you are listening to the audio content, this is recorded before the start of the workouts, but we're going to talk about injury news coming down. We're going to be talking about official visits. We're going to be talking O-line. We always got to talk O-line, but we're going to turn it over to Ant. We're going to switch it up a little bit today, and Ant's going to kind of host the show and produce the show. So he's got some topics we're going to talk about. That's right here in Vader. Ant, the man, 49ers cutback. I'll let you take it away, brother.
Yeah, so I've been looking at the 49ers roster, trying to figure out where they can address, and I think there's a couple positions that are really bare. One of those is cornerback, and I'm not sure it's getting enough attention. So, John, I want to know, when you're looking at the cornerback position, are there any free agents that you would be potentially interested in, and then also in the draft, a couple of guys that you would be interested in at the cornerback position? Because it looks like the 49ers are going to have to double up, because right now it's Bernardo Green and Diamond Romero, which is great. But after that, it's Darrell Luter Jr., and that's pretty much it.
I'm not a Luter guy. I like the draft pick. He has not progressed. So, and the injuries, the horrible special teams play, just all these different things, it's rough. And so, corner's an issue. Now, the 49ers are in, like, rare capacity in the fact that, hey, you've got your top-end corners. You have not one, but two promising young corners locked up for not one, not two, but three consecutive years, Diamador Lenore and Renardo Green, but you need help. You've got to get some more guys. And so I think you have to add at least two, probably three corners, whether that's through free agency or the draft, probably a mix. But if you go look at, you know, who, shout out to Steph Sanchez and what she does with like the tracker of who all the 49ers prospects have met with. They've met with more corners than any other position so far. So, and I think you're spot on in your analysis of the 49ers roster and the fact that, man, they have met with so many of these players, really only one top end guy. And that's, you know, Will Johnson, who I think everybody has to meet with. Because of the injuries, I think everybody has to meet with because does he love football? No doubt about his talent. Is he a top 10 pick? Yes, the tape says so. But, man, he makes a lot of business decisions out there. Like, the Niners are notorious for trying to figure out in these meetings, do you love football? Those are questions that have to be asked about Will Johnson. The talent's off the charts. And, I'm one of the few that's like, do not draft a corner in the first round. Like, just don't do that. You have two top-tier corners. You need depth guys. Would you be upset, Ant, if they went corner at pick 11?
I would be completely shocked because you have your two potential starters already. Renardo Green, I thought, played really well, and he's already got a year under his belt in the system. And then you've got Diamond Lenore, who can do it all. I think in a way it doesn't really hurt the team because 70% of the time that player is going to find themselves on the field as either a boundary corner or a nickel corner, depending on what they're best at. So I guess I would be surprised, but in the end, it would make sense because the 49ers need to improve the cornerback position. I just think that this is something that should happen in round 2, 3, 4 instead of round 1. So I would definitely be surprised.
Yeah, Invader, I bet my house the Niners don't go cornerback in round 1. But there are some free agent guys. And so, you know, obviously everybody's draft heavy right now, and I love that. But, like, man, the 49ers need a number 3 corner. That's what they need. And I want a vet to pair with these young pups. And just a handful of names, whether you want a pure outside guy, Carlton Davis, Paulson Adebo, Christian Fulton, Brandon Stevens, like those guys are pretty much predominantly outside guys. Demo's going to be the kick into nickel guy. But if you just want a nickel guy, Jordan Lewis, you can go get Asante Samuel Jr. A lot of Niners really wanted him back whenever we took Aaron Banks, Eric Stokes. There are guys that you can go get on the cheap. Not that all those guys are going to be cheap contracts, but some of them will be to come in as a number 3. Look, you're still a starter, all that. And then ideally, I would pair one of those free agents, maybe two of those free agents, with some day 3 guys. And so I'm curious, like, I'm going to give a run through just on a couple of the guys I really like that the 49ers met with in the draft that are later guys. Jacob Parrish, Niners met with him. He is the most 49ers defensive back you've ever met. Physical, wants to fight everybody. Kobe Bryant with the Niners, he's a little skinny, but man, he plays tough as hell. And then probably one of my favorites, Noel Williams out of Cal, local kid. Just versatility, experience. I think he has more snaps taken than any other defender in this draft. Like, he has played so much ball. So yeah, I want carpet bomb approach at the cornerback position. I want free agents. I want draft picks. I just don't want a top end draft pick spent at the position. I don't even want a second round draft pick spent there at the corner position personally.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, you see what the 49ers did last year. It was, let's go cheap with cornerback, you know, four, cornerback three, depending on how Renardo Green was going to play. So it was Isaac Yedem, it was Rock Ya-Sin, guys who had seen it, had played the system. You know, Brandon Staley was comfortable, you know, with Isaac Yedem. But I think that the 49ers didn't have good enough play from that guy. And now, without Charvarius Ward, you're probably going to have to spend a little bit more money in free agency probably than you wanted to at cornerback, because you can't rely on hitting a Renardo Green again in this draft. And so I think that there are some names, and you brought up Paulson Adebo, and this was a guy that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were in love with in that draft. I mean, whenever you can get John Lynch to actually say a name of somebody they missed out on because the Saints jumped over them, that's not normal. You don't normally say about the misses that you had in the draft. So it's a Stanford guy. It's a guy that he was in love with in that draft and they missed. Depending on what's coming out with his injury, though, I think is going to determine what his market is. But you're talking about a ball hawk. There's only been one season he didn't have interceptions. The rest of them, it's at least three. Even this season where he only played eight games, three interceptions. He just makes plays on the football. I think the 49ers could use turnovers in the secondary. So I think he's somebody that in free agency would be a good target. And I know everyone's talking about Asante Samuel Jr., and that would be fun. But that would keep D'Amador Lenore on the outside the entire time. Is that what people really want?
I think it's not what Demo wants. It's not what Demo wants. He wants to play inside.
And I'm not sure I want that, because I see how good D'Amador Lenore plays from the inside and the way that he's been able to take away the slot fade, which was a problem for the 49ers for how many years. So that being taken out, I kind of don't want it to change. And when it comes to the draft, a name that I've been kind of interested in and I've been watching a lot is Quincy Riley. I like Quincy Riley out of Louisville. He's a fun player, and I think that he could be a guy. He really is physical. He attacks situations. I think he could be a guy in the middle rounds that the 49ers could target, who could come in and compete and make an impact on their team. I did think I seen somebody that said it in chat as well, but I think he's a good player, and I'd like him in this draft as well.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you this. If you get somebody that is a 49ers, you know, content creator, and there's so many amazing ones, but if they could talk about how the slot fade has just been the Achilles heel for the 49ers since they made this transition away from the Fangio defensive scheme, it's killed the 49ers year after year. Doesn't matter who's there until D'Amador Lenore stepped in. That was it. I think we got beat on one slant slot fade. And that was whenever Jaxon Smith-Njigba made that like fingertip juggling catch. Like, but outside of that, like, man, Demo shut it down against everybody. And it's one of the hardest routes to cover because you have to have inside lineup alignment leverage. And, man, I love Demo. I want to keep him there. I really want to keep him there. I really, really, really want to keep him there. So, yeah, and again, you brought up Quincy Riley. Is there a Debo? Is that enough? So let's say they bring in Adebo, Paulson Adebo, veteran free agent, and they sign your guy Quincy Riley. Is that enough for the cornerback room, in your opinion? Or do we need more than two corners?
Yeah, they might need another corner in the draft, another young guy, even maybe a low-risk veteran. You know, maybe you do bring a guy like Isaac Yedem back or a guy like Rock Ya-Sin back to fill out your roster. I think I would prefer, you know, somebody that can really help you on special teams. I think you could go young again in the draft. I don't think it's too crazy to think they sign two free agents and take two draft picks, because I'm not sure Darrell Luter Jr. is going to make this football team, or I'm not sure he should make this football team. He hasn't been great on special teams. He really wasn't a player they counted on at all last year. He might be the next Ambry Thomas, somebody that came through, didn't really, you know, hasn't been able to do anything lately. At least Ambry started a little bit. So maybe you go there. You know, maybe you wait and you go in like the later rounds. You get like an Upton Stout or something like that. Another guy, you know, that comes in and competes and plays really hard and physical, because I think that's the type of corners they look for. And I think there's a lot on the open market too, free agency wise. You can kind of flip and go a different route. So I do think there's a potential to add even another corner.
Yeah. And Vader, again, I'm going to continue to echo this. I would bring back Isaac Yiadom. One, just for the special teams alone, he was the best special teams player we had last year, in my opinion. And then two, that dude loves football. He's the first person out at practice every single day, not first DB, not first defense, first player every damn day. The Niners have now, and I get it. Did Yiadom have a great year? He did not. He struggled with injuries. And whenever he got his chance to play at corner, didn't play well, but this is somebody that you could have as that number four, number five corner with vet experience that knows how to play, that loves football. I'm telling you, Isaac Yiadom, I really, really hope they bring him back. I just don't want him as the starter. I know a lot of people just are like, oh, Isaac Yiadom's terrible. Why? And it's just like, man, calm down. Like, understand corner is probably the hardest position to play in the NFL. And he has a lot of traits that the 49ers love. Should it be a starter? I don't think so. But if he was the cornerback four, I would be very, very happy with that. Just for the special teams, leadership, attitude, culture fit that he brings. I like physical corners, man. So anyway, that's our cornerback talk. They say money can't buy you happiness. That might be true, but money sure can make you feel a lot of other things. When did you decide to take care of your money? And why? Me, as somebody that branched out, got away from the normal paying job and had to take care of my own business and started from the ground up, money is stressful and it's been hard for me. But Acorns was a major part of the decision that made me be able to do the 49ers Rush podcast. Acorns is a financial wellness app that helps you take control of your money with simple tools that make it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. My favorite thing, you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, as little as $5. Even if all you have is spare change, you can get started. So if you're ready to take control of your money, sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to Acorns.com/49ers. Again, Acorns.com/49ers, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at Acorns.com/49ers.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I really don't want a corner. Would you be upset if they took a corner in round one, Ant?
Just surprised. You know, I think it depends on who, too. You know, I think that does make a big difference.
Jahdae Barron.
I know. You were saying Jahdae Barron, and I do like him. I think he's a very solid player. If the 49ers were picking in the 20s, I mean, cornerback would make a lot more sense. Last year, I was very in on Cooper DeJean. I thought that would have been a great pick for the 49ers in round one. So, I'm not against corners in round one. They better be a lockdown corner at pick 11. That's like the same with safety. They better be Earl Thomas if you're getting him at 11. And that's one of the things I worry about a cornerback is, are we going to get that guy that's a complete lockdown corner that changes the game for the 49ers?
Yeah, well said, well said. Do you consider Will Johnson to be that lockdown corner?
I think he's really, really good. I just have questions about him when it comes to some of the traits the 49ers love with like physicality and playing tough the whole time.
Got it.
I think he makes business decisions. And, you know, I worry about business decisions on the outside. That's why whenever I talk about corners, it's always dudes that are going to come in there and they're going to hit you. They're going to play. They're going to compete. I'm not completely sold. Maybe I will be. I wish I could be in the interviews and hear him talk to the 49ers because I think that's going to give them a really good idea of who he is, if he loves football, and if this is something he sees himself doing, you know, at a high level. But, you know, those are things you can't know unless you talk to the player, you know, right there. And all we can see is the film. And so that's it. That's all we can see. We can't really understand full intent until you understand what they're talking about.
If you love Will Johnson, go watch 2023 tape. If you hate Will Johnson, then you watch 2024 tape. And if you're worried about injuries, it's a shoulder, it's an ankle, it's a knee, it's a turf toe. And that's just way too many for me at 11. But he's going to go. Like, and the funny thing is, like, I won't be shocked if Will Johnson's not even on the board. Like, if he reaches his potential, he's that damn good. That good. So, anyway, that's our cornerback talk. Back to you, Ant.
Yeah, who are a couple under-the-radar players that you love in the draft that aren't getting much buzz? That right now they're just flying under the radar. But you really like them. I'm curious to see who you pull out from all your watching and all your film study of these guys that maybe no one's talking about.
There's a lot of guys that I really, really like later in the draft. And like this combine is going to answer a lot of questions. So like, again, I'm not a USC guy. I was at the Texas USC Rose Bowl when Vince Young just like, you know, whatever, did what he did to him. I've hated USC since then, but they have a safety that the more I watch him, the more I like him. Now, there's some questions about speed, and this is Achille Arnold. Okay, so this is a later round guy, 6'2". He checks all these 49er boxes, 2,400 snaps, experience galore, versatility, over 1,000 of his snaps at free safety, great burst, like physical tackler, quick trigger. I just don't know about top-end speed. Is he a perfect prospect? No, I think this is a day three guy. But I think he's a perfect 49ers fit if he can run. So, like, I've said this many times, but this safety combine is imperative to run quick for the 49ers. You've got to get a speed guy. Now, does he have to run a sub-4.440? No, but if it's a low 4.5, if he runs a 4.5.2, he just checks too many damn boxes. He's got his bachelor's in public health and is pursuing a certificate in gerontology. I don't even know what the hell that is, Ant. I don't know what that is. I'm not a smart man, but I do know what football is. So anyway, Mission Viejo, California. I just think this guy fits so much. And so if we're focusing on DBs, I am just a big fan of this guy. I like his tape. He's not a stellar prospect, but a day three guy, which is usually where the 49ers go and get their safeties. That might complement if he runs well. If he runs a 4.6, 4.7, not that I'm pulling him from my board, but I'm not touching him before round six, if that makes sense. So, like, have you had a chance to see Achille Arnold at all? Or if not, that's okay.
Yeah, I have. I've been able to watch him. And, you know, I do watch USC games from time to time, especially since I'm on the West Coast. You know, they come on, you know, now it's changed with the Big Ten, but it used to be just late night football all the time with USC. But you see a player
Pac-12 that's after dark.
There you go. Yeah, I used to love it. I would fall asleep watching Pac-12 games. I just would. It was fun. Usually Oregon's playing Oregon State or, you know, Washington or something. Some exciting games, but you fall asleep just watching it. But he's a good player. And I do think that there's a lot of position versatility where you could match him up against a tight end. And I think he could hang in there. I think if he got matched up against, you know, some of the more athletic slots, it would be a problem. But you see a guy that's got the upside and potential to be a free safety. And I think that's what we've been kind of looking for. And I think the 49ers ultimately are too. I think right now it feels like they have, you know, two safeties that are exactly the same as far as what they do. They win in the box. The coverage isn't really as good as you're hoping. So you're looking for somebody that can change that. If he runs a 4.5 or a sub 4.5 40, I think that's going to greatly increase his stock. And I think he is a talented enough player that he can do some things. And day three, that would be a great pick. Last year in day three, they hit Malik Mustafa. Maybe in day three, they go here and they hit another really talented player. So, yeah, I like him. I think he could be a guy that makes sense for the 49ers, especially late. And I think that's a good one, John.
Yeah, and I've got to clap back a little bit here. Slick says, SC would have won the game if Reggie Bush didn't screw it up. I loved it because Reggie Bush had a big play earlier that drive, and it was kind of early, and everybody's like, all the SC fans, they're chanting, Reggie, Reggie, Reggie. Then Reggie Bush does that stupid lateral move. Texas gets it. Then all the Texas fans, myself included, start chanting, Reggie, like, it was just epic, man. By far the best sporting event I have ever attended. And I will never miss an opportunity to make fun of USC for not being smart and intelligent with the ball. That is awesome. Anyway,
Pete Carroll probably making another mistake there too, John, going Lindell White on 4th and 1 and not Reggie going over the top. He makes bad decisions sometimes. That could have been one right there too.
Dude, that fourth down in the fourth quarter, they get the first down, game's over.
Right.
Right. Texas sells out. They get the stop. Stadium hushes, dead silent. Probably one of the coolest, like, chain extending moments. And where they didn't get it, and just, oh my gosh, everybody knew in the stadium right there at that moment, Vince Young's about to do this thing. Ah, I got chill bumps, Ant. I'm back there, baby. I love it. Ah, man. Anyway, now another guy that I really like, Jabbar Muhammad. If we're gonna talk corners out of Oregon. No, 5'10", 183, small hands, small arms. But I think that he could be one of those nickel special team guys that could flex outside. Mirror match, great footwork. That's probably one of my favorite things. Oregon always gets the athletes nowadays. It's just, if you're going to look good in those Nike uniforms, you know, those little bitty tiny athlete guys, that's where he is. But he plays very, very aggressive. And double-digit games played for three big five, kind of top five conference teams. So he's played a lot. Oklahoma State, Oregon. I mean, he has done very, very well. And I like his physicality. DeSoto guy, back to my Texas people. I usually don't like DeSoto. I'm a Duncanville coach. But that's okay. They still get elite athletes, and they're a great program. So Jabbar Muhammad, if we're going to talk some more corner talk, another underrated guy that I think fits a lot of what the 49ers do. I'm sure Demo is barking up the tree to go get this guy. Another day three type guy. Could slip into third round, but I don't think so. I think 4 or 5, those are the rounds where he would be going.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun player, you know, undersized, but makes up for it in physicality and toughness. And I think when I looked at him, I saw a guy that reminded me of Shaw Smith Wade out of Washington State. That's the kind of player. I liked him coming out a little bit too. I thought he was a nice late round pick that could compete at cornerback. And I think that's what you're getting from Muhammad. So I like that. I do think that he's a solid player that could, you know, be a day three pick the 49ers hit on. And hey, who knows? He could be another Diameter Lenore type player that comes in and is able to compete and earn his job. So I like that. Why not go back to Oregon? It's worked out before, and they do. I don't know what it is about Oregon and Washington DBs, but they compete at a different level when it comes to some of the feistiness and aggressiveness than some of the other places around. They really do a good job as far as competing at in the secondary.
I love it. I love it. So I want to hear yours. I want to hear some of your guys that you're really, really big on.
Yeah, so I talked about Quincy Riley earlier, and, you know, I don't think he's getting enough love at the cornerback position. He's just a guy that's got the fluid hips, the ability to turn and run. He plays very tight coverage. He's got a ability to get pass deflections, you know, and that's one of the things. You can play corner, you can play off, you can make tackles. He makes plays on the football, and that's one thing that I love. He's able to drive, get in and out of his break really quickly. Those are the types of things I like. I like that explosive first step, that ability to get on somebody and make a play. And he's a guy that I think can do it out of the slot, you know, and I think that the 49ers could use another player that could do that because what happens if Diameter Lenore is out for a little bit? We don't want the risk right now of Renardo Green having to go in there. You've got to have somebody that can do that. So I think getting a guy like Quincy Riley in this draft, you prepare yourself to potentially withstand a Demo being out for a little bit. And I think he's also got the ability because of his mentality and his aggressiveness to play on the outside. So I would really like him to potentially, you know, be a 49ers draft pick, you know, later in this draft. But I think he's got a lot of talent.
I like it. I like it. Now, here's something that's crazy. I'm gonna share my screen real quick. I'm not even good at this stuff, but we're going to do it anyway. As the combine measurements are taking place in real time, look at this. And I think that this is a 49ers type guy. Daniel Jeremiah. Interesting comp. James Pierce came in at 6'5", 245, 10-inch hands, 32 and three-quarter inch arms, 80, almost 81-inch wingspan. Here's the comp. Leonard Floyd, 6'5", 244, 10-inch hands, 33-inch arms, 80, almost exact same wingspan. And what's funny, in our draft book that we're kind of building out, my play style comp for James Pierce, it's Leonard Floyd. Not to mention, guess who the 49ers have met with? James Pierce. It just the stars continue to align for James Pierce. I love the way this guy plays. Now, there are some question marks around him. Is he worth the 11th overall pick? That's a whole nother question. But, man, he is a perfect fit. And who better to learn from if you did get James Pierce then Leonard Floyd. So my question to you, Ant, is 11 too early for James Pierce? How would you, on a scale of 1 to 10, the 49ers pick comes in, edge rusher Tennessee, James Pierce Jr., where do you rate that one?
I'd probably put up there like 8 or 9 because I see him with elite traits, and I'm always looking for those guys. And you had John Lynch tell Matt Maiocco yesterday at 11, they want a game changer. Well, James Pierce is a game changer. This is a guy that's got tracking speed. He's able to get downhill quickly. He plays the run well for his size. You wouldn't expect it when you look at his weight because he looks like he can play power forward. He doesn't look like a natural defensive end, but he plays tough. He's got the physicality to do it. I think he's got enough pass rush skills to be able to win consistently against tackles. I like him a lot. I think that he could be one of those guys. I did a breakdown of him over on Patreon way back because I thought he was an option for the 49ers. I like it, and I think you're right. Leonard Floyd is a nice comp for him because it is. You look at him, the lean, the body type. Now, I do think that when you look at James Pierce, I think he does come off a lot quicker, a lot faster than Floyd coming off the edge, but Floyd might have a little bit more of a bend right now, but we'll see. I do think that would be a dynamite pick for the 49ers. I like getting someone with an elite trait that changes the game. And if you're looking for someone with a great first step and a guy that can impact the game, James Pierce is one of those guys.
He hit 23 miles per hour on a pick six versus Iowa on his GPS. Like I don't think Christian McCaffrey's ever hit that speed. Like, ever. Like, this dude at 245, one, you talked about how he's built like a power forward. Like, I love the coach's angle where you get the offensive line, defensive line behind him. And it's just like, this dude is built like a number two pencil. Like, no hips, no shoulders, just streamlined. Who's the hero on what's it called? Where's my super suit? Like the freaking Ozone or whatever. Like that dude is Frozone. Frozone. There it is. Come on. I was in the Incredibles. I should know that. But anyway, I love James Pearson. Probably one of my favorite things that whenever I did the tape breakdown, how great he is at identifying blocks against the run. You assume these super speed, not light, 245 ain't light, but these, you assume he's not going to be great versus the run. I disagreed. Like, I was overwhelmingly, this guy was blowing up guard tackle pulls and counters, wrong shouldering correctly. Like, he was doing so many things. I was like, dude, who the hell is this? Now, is he your power run stuffer? No, but he had an 84 run grade, and it just jumped out on tape. This dude understands blocking schemes. It was identifying blocks consistently throughout the game. He's one of the players that continues to grow. And so I want to jump, man, there was this awesome question earlier, right here, Alan, appreciate it. And I want to direct this to you, Ant. Alan says, I need to hear how we should draft in your opinion, according to the tape, damn the combine aside from the measurement. So in your question right now, and I want to constantly do these check-ins whenever we record together on Thursdays. If you had your way right now at pick 11, who is your favorite pick to be the 49ers? If they don't trade back, don't trade up. Who is the guy that you're just like, man, if I could decide right now, this should be the pick at 11. Who comes to mind?
Well, I think I would go edge. I think right now with the current state of the 49ers, and I get the defensive tackle is a huge need, but when you look at the defensive tackle position, the depth is crazy. So I love a lot of the defensive tackles in round two, round three, round four. I think you can still get starting caliber players there. And I don't think it's a huge difference between, you know, Walter Nolan at 11 and Omar Norman Lott at 75. Like, I just don't think that there's a giant difference between the two players when you're talking about the production, that size, everything. Yeah, it's different, but production wise. So then I start looking at the edge rushers that I really like in that category. And I do like guys like James Pierce Jr. I'm a real big fan of Nick Skorton, who now is saying that he's going to be 265 pounds and more athletic. And I already enjoyed his speed and ability at 280. So I think he could be moving up the board a little bit. I like him a lot in that category. So I think that's where I'm going. Edge rusher. I like Pierce. I like Skorton. I don't think that I would normally like Mike Green, but I can't do that because I know there's some off the field issues that will probably prevent him from being on the board. So those are kind of the guys that I'm looking at. I know there's other guys, but those are the guys like I'm kind of the most fond of as far as 49er fits, and I just keep getting hung up on them. But I want a game changer. I want somebody that can make plays off the edge. And if the 49ers sign an edge, like say the 49ers get somebody in free agency, make some sort of move, then definitely my philosophy will change and it could go a different direction. But right now, that's who I would lean to.
I like that. And, you know, Nathan says, yeah, he asked me, John, how do you feel Niners met your best edge, Nick Skorton? What are your thoughts on it? I like him a lot. I like him so much more than Shamar. I don't even think it's close. And, you know, part of me is just like right here. I think Sam Mateo, like one, I hate Texas A&M, obviously. How many Texas references can I get in this show? But he says, how about Texas A&M kind of tanking Skorton and both Shamar's production this year? Not to mention Walter Nolan didn't produce there either. Like Texas A&M just has no clue what the hell to do with these defense. Their predominant thing is to stop the run. But they hurt not one, not two, not three, but four. You know, they got two Shamars over there. So, again, let's dive into Nick Skorton. What is it that you like about him so much to be considered for that number 11 spot? Because, yeah, the Niners met with him. I like him way more than his teammate Shamar. But what is it about Skorton that makes you think, you know, we went in pretty deep on James Pierce Jr.? But tell us about this Texas A&M defensive end that the Niners have met with.
Yeah, I love the fact that he is a big defensive end who can set a hard edge. That's the first thing I wanted to see was, can he set a hard edge? Because the 49ers don't need a guy that can't play against the run. We need a three-down defensive end that we can put opposite of Nick Bosa. Yeah, they're still going to rotate, but we need that guy that can be in there on third and one and be in there on third and eight and still be an accomplished player. And I think that's where he checked the box first. He sets a hard edge. He plays the run good. He carried 280 pretty good. I think he's going to carry 265 even better. That'll help with lateral quickness, which I think he has. But then he has a repertoire of pass rush moves. I mean, the guy has a wicked spin. He's able to get to the quarterback. He's got pretty good bend. So overall, I just saw a talented player that can do both. He can pass rush. He can stop the run. And that's ultimately what I was looking for when I was looking for a guy opposite of Bosa. If you're just looking for an elite trade, a speed guy off the edge, your D-Ford type, there's those guys. That's not what Nick Skorton does. But I also think he's a technician and a guy that would continue to get better just because I see the differences between 2023, 2024. You just see how much better he gets. And so that's why I like Nick Skorton. And that's why I would really like him in this length, size, enough speed, enough lateral quickness. He's a fun player.
Yes. I mean, 6'4", 280, but you're going to knock him down to 265. That's huge. And so, yeah, I like this from Lou. Skorton sets the edge better. Yes. No doubt about that. And so the question is, okay, if you're going edge, do you want the more complete player? Well, that's Skorton. Do you want the guy that's going to get more sacks? Oh, that's going to be James Pierce Jr. It's not even debatable. So do you go for the true three down guy or do you go for the high upside pass rusher? These are the questions the 49ers are fighting with. You know, what do they have? They already have a type. It's Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd Jr. is in this draft. Or do you go more of an Eric Armstead type player that is just an all around versatile, could play inside if you want him to. He just kind of does all those things. And then here we go, David, throw this wrench into the conversation. I think Mikael Williams is the number two edge in this draft class. 49ers haven't met with him, but if we're talking comparables and, you know, relating these players to Niners players, Mikael Williams is Nick Bosa with more athleticism. Do you agree with that assessment? Like, as far as how he's built, his play style, he's one of those guys. Is he better versus the run or the pass? I don't know. He kind of does everything very, very well, but he played through an ankle injury, didn't miss time, but played through it all season. His 23 tapes better than his 24. Same thing we said about a lot of other prospects. Does Mikael Williams even fit into the conversation for you at edge early at pick 11?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting with Mikael Williams because, like you said, some of his tape is phenomenal, and then some of it is underwhelming. And I think that when it comes to him, one of my concerns is I don't know if he's as fluid an athlete at his size as I would like him to be. He's tremendously athletic, but for whatever reason, he looks stiff sometimes when he's pass rushing and when he's getting after it.
Tight hips.
Yeah, he does have tight hips, and I worry about that when it comes to his bend. Is this guy going to be able to bend a corner in a wide nine scheme? And so I have question marks about that. I think he could be a dynamic player in the NFL, but I worry if he's going to be that guy that can consistently win, play in and play out. So that's why I didn't like him as much as some of the other guys. Once again, though, very talented player, and he's going to be probably a top 15, top 20 pick in this draft because he's extremely talented. That's the only reason I like James Pierce a little bit more. I like Nick Skorton a little bit more. I just think that there's more fluidity, more athleticism, when it comes to the hips and the stiffness. And I think that's the one thing holding Mikael Williams back.
Yeah. Oh, I love this conversation about edge players, and it's just fun. Now, I think everybody kind of knows who the number one edge is. Now, you got some issues with – he's got some foot issues, and he's choosing not to get that corrected surgically. He's going to perform at his pro day anyway. I've been making bets almost daily that Abdul Carter is going to be number one. I think that took a little bit of a hit, but if you think you know who the number one overall pick is, head over to my bookie, make that bet now. The NFL season may be done, but betting with my bookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, is still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there, and you can make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. You're a big basketball guy. Who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers or scan this QR code to my right. And you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto, racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, Ant, it's John Chapman therapy time. I need you to diagnose my anxiety. Okay, I'm talking with freaking awesome dude, David R. We're back and forth. And this happened to be yesterday on yesterday's show. You just start going through the offensive linemen that are currently rostered on the 49ers. The numbers, you're kind of getting pretty damn close to what you bring into a game. You got four interior offensive linemen returning with lots of experience. You just signed Ben Bartsch to almost a fully guaranteed $1.1 million deal. Not a lot of money. But it's guaranteed. He's going to be on the roster. You've got your two offensive tackles returning. I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, there might only be one more spot open for a 49ers offensive lineman. On top of that, you look at the meetings that they've had. They have not met with one offensive lineman that is projected to go in the first five rounds of the NFL draft. Am I insane? I'm starting to go to where I was last year and be like, they're not going to draft O-linemen early. It seems to not even be on their radar. Talk to me about offensive line. Is there room for adding one or two more top-tier guys? And do you think the Niners will do this?
Well, it depends on what they want to do in free agency. I think that's the first part. If they want to improve a position, you know, everyone's been talking about Drew Dahlman or a potential upgrade at center. I think there's still a likelihood that that could happen, but you have to probably do it in free agency to upgrade the position. I don't think you can draft someone and plug and play them at center, not in coming out of this draft. I think last year was probably your best chance to get a center high and be able to plug and play him, but that's not really what Kyle or Chris Furster do. So I think that's the first part. I think free agency, we could address center. Other than that, in the draft, I mean, it was interesting. I listened to Matt Miocco and Jennifer Lee Chan yesterday so I could listen to the John Lynch interview that they had with them. And Jennifer Lee Chan made a statement that she doesn't expect the 49ers to take a offensive lineman for the first three rounds. That was the first time that it really clicked. Like, you know what? This might not be a 49ers offensive line draft until pick 99. Like, they might actually wait until 99 or trade up from 99 to get a player. And that might scare a lot of people. But I think that they're super higher on Colt McKivitz than probably anybody else is. And I think if they do address center and free agency, I think a lot of people would be comfortable with an offensive line that improves center and has Ben Bartsch at left guard. So it may not carry as much weight as far as, you know, getting a guy. So you could probably get someone in round three or four that potentially you could develop into a starter that takes over for Colt McKivitz or takes over for Ben Bartsch, the same way you did with Dominic Pooney. Maybe that is the answer. But yeah, it's starting to look like offensive line may not be as big a priority as I think all of us are putting on it, because we consistently see a position group that needs to improve. But I don't know if Chris Furster and Kyle Shanahan see it the same way.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Now, if you look at their meetings that they have had of potential first round prospects, they've only met with seven that are kind of projected to go close to the first round. Two defensive tackles, Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant, they've met with. Two edge players, James Pierce, Nick Squarton. We talked about them a lot. One corner, Will Johnson. We talked about him. But, man, multiple tight ends. I'd say two to three possible first-round guys. And the one tight end they haven't met with that's supposed to go in the first round is Tyler Warren, who all the 49ers fans kind of are drooling over. But they've met with Harold Fannin Jr., who I think is a perfect fit. They've met with Colston Loveland, and they met with Mason Taylor as well. Tight end seems to be a major need. You just have one tight end. That's George Kittle. Talk to me about why they would meet with Fannin, why they would meet with Loveland, why they would meet with Mason Taylor. These are all guys going to go in the top 50 of the draft. How big of a need is tight end, do you think, in the 49ers think? Because it seems like they think this is a paramount issue.
Well, it has to be. I mean, you've seen the difference between Charlie Warner being on the San Francisco 49ers and Charlie Warner being off. It was a huge difference. So you either have to get somebody that can get it done in the passing game so George Kittle can play that role, which he definitely can, or you need somebody that can block at that level. Yeah, you would like to get a guy that can do both, like George Kittle. Those guys don't grow on trees. Now we're seeing a trend towards you find guys that can win in space consistently. You look at Colston Loveland. I mean, this is a guy that consistently wins with great route running. He's got an ability to make plays over the middle of the field and down the seam that would put a lot of stresses on linebackers and safeties. And so if you're looking for a position of need, tight end is definitely a deep position to look at. I think it does kind of change your perspective on the 49ers when you look at the fact that they are looking for a more athletic wide receiver type at tight end, is getting somebody that can be a playmaker. So I think that they're finding that it's more difficult to replace Charlie Warner's blocking and are saying, you know what, maybe we could help George Kittle out when it comes to passing and he could be our blocker, could be part of the method. So I'm not shocked. You need to refill that entire tight end room. It's like really bare. It's George Kittle and nothing. I know Jake Tung just got extended at, you know, a thing. Brandon Willis got it, you know, exclusive rights free agent. They're not the answer. They need somebody else. They need two somebody else's. And so free agency draft could be the way they answer it.
I will say this, out of Harold Fannin, Colston Loveland, Mason Taylor, Fannin's the only willing blocker. Not that the others are terrible blockers, but they're not mean. I just put a clip out on Twitter of just like 10 straight blocks of Harold Fannin Jr. just getting after people and pancaking people. I mean, he is a beast blocker and space. So the one thing that Fannin, Loveland, and Mason Taylor have in common, they're great space route runners. Like, they have great hands. They're going to make it easy on the quarterback. Fannin's the only one that's your kind of dog mentality blocker. Now, he's the smallest of the bunch, but don't tell him that. And that dude to get out there and get after it. So tight end is definitely the fact that they've met with three guys that will go before all the offensive linemen they've met with so far. Now, again, that's going to change, and offensive linemen haven't reported yet. So we're going to get a lot more of those the next couple of days. I understand that. But tight end seems to be a much bigger need than a lot of people are alluding to. And the crazy thing is they haven't met with Tyler Warren. That's just, I don't know. It's interesting to me. And again, I always talk Tyler Warren on every damn show. The more and more I keep watching the tape, he's moving down my ranks and other people are moving up. I think Tyler Warren's a stud and going to go in the first round. I think I might rather have Harold Fannin Jr. and Colston Loveland. Am I insane? I know I'm insane, but am I insane because of this take, Ant?
I love Colston Loveland. So that one is not crazy for me at all. I think Harold Fannin Jr., I think you're the main question marks are going to be the talent that he went against, right? His competition, can he produce that at a higher level? I think there's some film that shows that he can, but I think that'll be the question mark for him. But he's extremely talented and extremely good player. I think that you just saw consistently what Tyler Warren did against tougher competition, and so people are seeing that. But there's not a wow factor when it comes to Tyler Warren, when it comes to speed and things like that that jump off. I don't think he's an extremely great route runner. He's more of just a playmaker. And so I think that's what teams are looking for. If you're going to find somebody that can make plays, you know, screens, catch the ball, rumble for some extra yards, that's who Tyler Warren is. I still think he's worthy of a first-round pick, but I don't think it surprises me that, you know, a guy like Harold Fannin Jr. or maybe other guys will kind of come up into that conversation. I'm curious where Tyler Warren goes. Who falls in love with him? It's only going to take one. Somebody will. Yeah.
And for all the people saying Harold Fannin didn't do it against elite competition, I watched the A&M tape and I watched the Penn State tape. Dude belonged. Dude showed he belonged. And so, yeah, is it a smaller sample size? For sure. But I'm saying I saw enough. That's just me. Anyway, we'll continue this Tyler Warren discussion every episode ever on the 49ers. I don't know why I can't get away from this conversation. I love tight ends, Ant. What can I say? Now, John Lottie, appreciate the super chat. Sometimes our draftees suffer from the versatility. I mean, every single post-draft conference is just John Lynch licking his lips saying versatility 20 times every single time. Is it time just to get a tactician? What are your thoughts on the 49ers always targeting these versatility players and instead of going for these, man, this guy is purely this role and this role only, this is his job. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think they do it sometimes because it's what they have to do to fit their positional needs. You know, I mean, one of the things that 49ers like, especially if you're talking about offensive linemen, for instance, that's where I get the most question marks or pushback on 49ers taking offensive tackle, moving them inside is, colleges put their best players and their best athletes at offensive tackle. So when you get them, you feel like you have a guy that can play on the inside that has length usually to be able to still get to the second level, still make those blocks, but has been going against the best defenders in college football. So you feel like you're getting an upgrade there. I think it does come down to positional need as well. I do think sometimes it's better to have a tactician. I like looking at technical side of pass rush moves, linebacker play. Like, there's some things that really jump out. I think the 49ers go there at certain positions, but I think in others, they do value versatility. And so versatility can make it easier or make it tougher for some of these guys to translate. I think the position the 49ers have struggled the most with that thought process has to be center, where they've drafted so many offensive tackles they thought could play center, and it hasn't really worked out so far.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Now, I do want to say, questions are coming. I have way too many questions to start. This is going to be like a 5-hour show. I want to have to like save some of these for next week. This is the problem with Ant and I recording. Everybody saves their great questions for when Ant shows up on the show, and I freaking love it. I love it. Phil, he says, I'll see you at the Zoom hangout this afternoon. Yeah, for us on the 49ersRush.com and our Patreon, we're having a Zoom hangout tonight at 5:30 p.m. Thursday Pacific time. Ant, can you talk to us a little bit about your Patreon and how we can support you and your show? Because there's not a lot of people doing what you're doing right now.
Yeah, right now on Patreon, I'm doing breakdowns of individual players. I have roughly 20 players that I've broke down. Right now, it was requested I go through my favorite guys, so that's what I've been doing. I kind of switched it up, stopped going from guys that were at 11 to go through my favorite guys. So I've been doing those breakdowns over there. I do a weekly show as well over there that's only exclusive on Patreon, and I'm actually thinking about adding another one. I'm going to do a call-in show over on Patreon. That's going to be just for those people. I want to answer draft questions and just let people talk to me exclusively. So lots of content over there. I post daily on Patreon right now, and so everyone can go over there and check it out.
Ah, freaking love it. Just type in, it's 49ers Cutback, right? On Patreon.
That's it. 49ers Cutback on Patreon. Yep.
All right, let's get to a couple prospects that were requested to be broken down by you. And I got to be honest, this is one I haven't done yet. Center Drew Kendall from Boston College. Our man Ben says, I want to know Ant's take on Drew Kendall, Boston College center, 6'4", 300. Tell us what you like about him.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that does operate pretty well in space. And you, Boston College ran, you know, a interesting offense. They do a lot of screens. They do a lot of things where he's out in the open field. So you get to see what he does in space. And I think he does a pretty good job. I thought that his feet look better in space than they do at the line of scrimmage. And I worry a little bit about his anchor when it comes to pass blocking, but I seen him win. I got to watch him go against Farmer from Florida State, and I saw him win sometimes. I saw him lose sometimes. There was some good competition there, but I saw a player that could compete with some of the better defensive tackles in the league. And so I think he is an option later on in this draft as a potential target because he does fit the zone scheme. He fits what the 49ers want as far as getting to second level and making those blocks. I do have some concerns, like I said, about anchor. I think he's a better pass blocker than a run blocker. I think he needs to get better when it comes to run blocking, especially when it comes time to have to move someone off their spot. I don't see that physicality to win there, but that's not exactly what the 49ers always go for. I think there's some things he could get better at technician-wise. You know, the hands get a little wide sometimes, allow people into his chest plate. Sometimes he's a little bit of a shoulder blocker compared to a proper technique. And I did see that sometimes he's a little clunky with his feet. So, you know, even though he's athletic in space, his footwork is not always the best. So that's probably what's going to keep him down the board. But I like the size. I like the athleticism. I think he could be a day three pick for the 49ers if they were looking for a center in that range.
Yeah. And again, you look at who they have met with that are offensive linemen. And again, it's that type of guy. It's that type of player that is late, kind of fits what they want, but, you know, developmental at best. All right, let's do one more offensive lineman, and then we'll get to a couple more questions before we jump out of here. Talk to us about Charles Grant, offensive tackle William and Mary. How many times have we broke down William and Mary offensive line tape? Not a lot before this year. What are your thoughts on Charles Grant?
You know, he's a fun guy. He's extremely athletic and looks smooth. I mean, he just looks really smooth. You're talking about a guy that can get to the second level consistently, be able to get to that linebacker, make a play, get his hips. He flipped around. He didn't really have any problems with that. I think sometimes it looks easy for him going against the competition that he's going against. So sometimes I see him kind of rise up and get a high pad level, which I wasn't a huge fan of. But when you're talking athleticism, he's one of the more athletic tackles as far as smoothness and being able to change direction and lateral quickness. I think he's really good. I think there's a concern a little bit about his size, 6'4", 300 pounds. Is he going to be able to anchor against bigger defensive linemen in the NFL? I think that's one of my main concerns. I think there's still some technical refinement. He hasn't, you know, been able to get as technically refined as he should. So sometimes he can get a little off course with his footwork as well, just like we were talking about before. Another guy that it's not always clean, it's not always perfect, and he could handle the guys he was going against, but the bigger, more physical guys are going to give him a problem. And I think that I want to see what happens. Would he have a tendency to overset against some of these better defensive ends and then be able to win on the inside? So technical refinement, there's a lot of development that needs to go there, but I think there's a nice player there that you could potentially develop into a good player, especially if you're getting this guy the end of day two, beginning of day three. I think you put him on your team, you let him sit and kind of marinate for a year, and he could end up being a very good pro, you know, in the years to come.
Was that a Letterkenny reference? Is that what that was? Was that a sit and ref? And I got to say, shout out to the new season Shorzy. And if you haven't seen Letterkenny or Shorzy on Hulu, what are you doing? Come on. We're going to have a problem here. All right. So I love it. Great job. It's weird talking about a tackle and center having the same height weight.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And so the lesser competition, and he doesn't have the true metrics for a true tackle. That bothers me a little bit. I love the fluidity. I love the athleticism. I'm not sure I'm sold on Charles Grant, unless you're going to draft him kind of and do the Nick Sakel role where, hey, we're going to draft a guy who's played only left tackle, 41 starts for Charles Grant at left tackle, but we're going to make him a center. I don't mind those project types. If it's late day three, you know, round three is too early. Day three, I'd be more okay with. Kind of take that for what you will. Right here, McCory has a question. Ant, would you mind Josh Simmons at 11? I feel like we get this question every week, but they keep coming in. Josh Simmons coming off an ACL or patella tear. Can't get the right answer out there. What are your thoughts here?
I love the player. I love the film that he was putting out, but I'm going to go ahead and put the kibosh on Josh Simmons because all the Drake Jackson stuff going around with the patella tendon and what he's dealing with, and the 49ers are dealing with that, you know, travesty of what it is and the fact that he might not even come back. Who knows? And I think that they're just going to be way too nervous about that injury. I don't know even if the medical feel good about it. John Lynch talked about Mike McGlinchey having the same injury and still dealing with pain to this day. To me, that just screams the 49ers say, you know what, we love the player, but we don't love the risk, and we don't do it at 11, even though Josh Simmons would, without the injury, was a dynamite pick in the top 10. He would have been phenomenal plug and play left tackle for the next 15 years. But unfortunately, with the injury, I just think the 49ers will steer clear now.
Yeah. Right here, we got a question from Icon. I'm staying away from Josh Simmons, by the way. I've been messing around with the mocks, trading way back into the early second round. Could net us a bunch of picks in that sweet spot you've been talking about, John. I feel like the more third round picks you can get, the better this draft will go. The problem is, are you going to miss on a chance to get those third round picks? You got to trade back with your first. It's the only way to get them. How comfortable are you in trading back? If there's not going to be a lot of teams trying to trade up, but if you're picking at 11, you get the phone rings, and the only team that's willing to trade up is, let's just say, picking 19th. Who would be the Tampa Bay Bucks. Well, we traded with them in the past. Didn't work out so well. But if they called, they're like, hey, you only got one offer. You could stay at 11 and get Walter Nolan, or you could get Nick Skorton. But they call and they offer you a third this year and a third next year. It's your only offer. What are you doing in that situation?
I'd be tempted, depending on what the board looks like. I'd be tempted to fall back eight spots, pick up the two third-round picks because, yeah, third-round pick next year might not seem like a lot, but that might be enough for you later on to be able to jump up from 43 back into the first part of the second round, or from 75, you can move up into the 60s and potentially get another player there. So it gives you some draft capital to be able to use, and I do think a lot of the players the 49ers are going to be interested in are going to be available in that 19 to 25 range. I don't think it's a big deal for them to trade back. And I know, you know, normally you want to take a player at 11, but I don't think there's that dynamite guy that you're like, oh, I have to get this guy at 11 that I couldn't also get somebody that's exactly the same or that guy at 19. And it's always dangerous. You could always miss out on your guy. Somebody else falls in love. But to me, I would do it. Get the extra draft capital because I think there's some holes you can fill in rounds 2 and 3 that could, you know, potential starters. And you do have a lot of needs. And John Lynch brought up, we need to get younger. We have 10 draft picks, hopefully. That's what he said. And I think they're going to use all 10. And I think if they traded back, they would use 11 or 12 if they got the draft capital to be able to do so.
Yeah. NY Niners, he says, I hate the thought of being the seller in a buyer's market. Look at that. And San Mateo, hey, man, need a bunch of 2s, 3s, and 4s. Take a bunch of shots of quality guys. This is a picture-perfect trade-back opportunity year. You got to have 2 to take, though. I don't think you're going to get a lot of guys that want teams that want to trade up. I don't think you're going to get that. And again, I always get this question. Why don't we trade back and get an extra second? No trade in the past 25 drafts have involved a trade getting a second-round pick from pick 11. It just hasn't happened. So the idea of getting a second sounds awesome. I would love that. Getting a third and a future pick is much more likely. McCory says, hey, let's just trade up and get Mason Graham. He just came out and said he's not going to be working out at the combine, which is probably smart. He's locked to be a top five, and that's not where he's going to excel. Does the players, you know, not working out at the combine, we've been going through this now for a decade. What are your thoughts? Does that ruin the evaluation or cause question marks? So with a guy like Mason Graham, does him not working out this combine, how's that affect your evaluation of him?
Well, I think it doesn't affect my evaluation. I lean more towards tape than anything else, than anything they're going to do at the combine. I think a lot of these players now want perfect conditions and they can set it up a lot different for their pro day. They can work with their guys, their coaches on their field. And I think that makes a big difference. Plus, teams, if you're really interested in a player, can bring someone in for a private workout. So it's not like they can't see Mason Graham and what he is. But I think it's smart for him because this isn't going to be the week for him when it comes to measurables and it comes to speed and it comes to athletic ability. That's not where he excels. He excels on film where he's a really good player with great balance that can get in the backfield to make plays. So, it doesn't surprise me. And I think this is going to continue to be a trend where the combine is more for the players that are trying to prove a point and the rest of the players are just trying to wait until their pro day where they can kind of get everything perfect for him.
Yeah, I like it. Talk about working in the perfect scenario. Mine's recorded with Ant. The coach approach, relying on film. This is always an absolute blast. Ant, again, just one more time, talk to us a little bit about your shows you got coming up in the next couple of weeks and kind of what you're focusing on.
Yeah, so I've been focusing on players in the draft and really working like more in depth on defensive tackle, offensive line, targets for the 49ers potentially, especially defensive line where there's extreme amounts. So I have videos out about defensive line. I'm going to continue to put out videos. Also, my Patreon, go over there, check out the breakdowns, get involved and let me know what you think. And if you got prospects, I always say this, hit me up and I will get to those prospects and have a conversation about it because I love it. And if people come with players I've never seen, I love it even more because, hey, it gives me somebody to be excited about, interested in. And so, yeah, that's what's going to be. Lots of draft conversation. I'm sure I'll do something with the combine. And then a post-combine, I got to get to a mock draft. I haven't done one in a while. And I got enough heat from the last one that I'm excited to get more heat on the next one.
I've never been insulted as worse as whenever I submit a mock draft online. I don't know why. People just take it so personal. It cracks me up. But anyway, man, this has been an absolute blast. Thanks for another Coach Approach. And until next time, you guys are all awesome. Stay strong, faithful.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Stay warm and save every day.
all in the Kroger app.
Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices, save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.